Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our speakers, Katherine Yates. Katie is the Director of Analytics for the Boston University men's ice hockey team. And at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Katie will deliver a talk titled Challenges and Frontiers in Adopting Analytics in NCAA Ice Hockey. Katie, welcome.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for being here. So tell me about your background. Just reading up on you, I see that when you started at Brown, you were a physiology and biotechnology student. So how do you move from there into Director of Analytics for an ice hockey team?
Yeah, so I always was sort of played all sports growing up. My brothers, you know, always played sports. So being dragged around to their games and doing my own, I kind of definitely wanted to stay close to sports and stay involved with that. Sort of realized that actually being a professional athlete was probably not going to pan out, but my best chance to stay involved was sort of to be a nerd of some variety. So my plan was to, I worked in a lab doing biomechanics for lacrosse and field hockey. And so sort of wanted to thought I was going to stay somewhere around there. Ended up being fortunate enough to get a scholarship to BU to do a master's in mechanical engineering. Was planning on working in their biomechanics lab, but that didn't end up panning out, but ended up getting involved with the hockey team, which has been awesome.
So how'd that happen? How did you get involved with the hockey team?
Had sort of a side work study job working at the rink, doing all sorts of, you know, doing paperwork for student employees and building stages for concerts and all sorts of, you know, have painted Quinny's office once or twice, and sort of got to know them through that. And eventually just ended up approaching Coach Quinn and saying, you know, hey, this is something that all of the NHL teams are doing, and if we're really committed to being the NHL team of the college teams, maybe this is something that we should be thinking about.
So did he know that? I don't want to sound disparaging or anything, but how much did he get that at the time? I mean, was it something he'd been considering and just needed the right person to come forward, or was it like, hey, I never really thought about that, but here's something we could get into?
Yeah, no, I think that he definitely knew about it, definitely was interested. All of the assistant coaches have been pretty involved and pretty interested in, you know, asking questions, wanting to do new stuff, add new stuff. So I think that they're all sort of definitely on board immediately. It was, you know, our first meeting was maybe like 3 minutes, and it was just sort of like, okay, we're into it. You're the boss. Do it. Figure out what we need. Get it done.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I read a story about you on ESPNW, and for listeners, if you haven't read it yet, just Google Katherine Yates, Boston University, and you'll find it. It's one of the top results. But I read that in the beginning that people were asking you to predict standings or game outcomes, and that's really not really what you wanted to be in or where you saw the value lying. How did you move the conversation past that into other areas where you thought might be more valuable?
Yeah, I just sort of, I don't know, it's not so much of a, I don't get that as much anymore. I get a couple people because I like to sort of have the prediction, make them for myself in the summer, and then just sort of for my own edification, see where I end up. I don't really end up doing anything with them, but I did end up like doing a little miniature brag on Twitter this summer where I was like, hey, like in last July, I put Clayton Keller down for, I think it was like 1.44 points per game this season, and he ended up doing 1.45. Nice. And I had a couple people being like, okay, well, what's your prediction for this kid for next season? Like, let me know. Like, my fantasy team thanks you. But I try not to really get involved with that because I think that it's just sort of in the scope, like, it's definitely within the scope of something that I find really super interesting, and that I really do read up on a lot of people doing. But for my particular role within BU hockey, it's just not really helpful to our cause. It's not really helpful for me to, you know, go to the coaches and be like, hey, I think we have an 83% chance to win tomorrow. That's like, they're like, what am I going to do with that?
Right. Right. So without giving away any trade secrets, and if this is all proprietary, you just let me know, shut up. But what kind of things do you work on for the team? If you can give me just some general areas.
Yeah. So just generally, just try to work on like I said, like not trying to predict stuff, but sort of better ways and more sort of objective and useful, and maybe ways that the coaches hadn't thought of evaluating our guys and evaluating our team the way that it is now, and sort of how are we performing right now? How are certain guys and certain pairings and certain lines performing right now? And are there, you know, ways to improve that? And just sort of giving them additional context to sort of when they're going forward and dealing with the guys and dealing with the team, just sort of to give flesh out that full picture of how they're looking at it.
So when you're doing that, you know, did you or do you have the full set of data that you need to make these analyses, or is that something that you've had to create from scratch, or are you still looking for that data in certain areas?
Yeah, so that's something that I'm going to talk about at a good amount of length in my presentation, because that is sort of a huge difference between working at the pro level and working at the college level. In the NHL, they basically give you everything and it's online and you can find it if you look hard enough and you know how to, you know, write a web scraper. But for college, you get absolutely nothing. So basically as soon as a game ends, I'm upstairs working a disgusting amount of through the night, often doing the, you know, watching the game again in slow motion to sort of get everything that we need to be keeping track of.
Okay, so what other ways do college hockey and NHL hockey differ, and in what ways are they fundamentally the same?
I mean, fundamentally the same is, you know, you see the same mentality through the players throughout all of it of, you know, they want to be the best and they want to win, and they're the most competitive people that you're ever going to meet, and that doesn't change from, you know, that doesn't change from college to the pros, and that's how, you know, that's how they get there, because they're super, super driven and they want to win all the time at everything. They want to win at, you know, who can throw their water bottle into the recycling first. They want to win at everything. But I mean, things that are different, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of differences in sort of resources, both what's available to teams and what's available to sort of, you know, going back to stuff that is out there online, that kind of thing. It's tough to get data. It's tough to get video. And then also just sort of the, you know, 18-year-old boys are idiots, but
you know, and that's a less tactful way of what I was just going to ask you, actually. So when you're dealing with college age players, how do they receive analytics findings? So let's put it that way. Or do you communicate directly to them? Do the coaches serve as a filter there? How do the players ultimately use what the projects that you're working on?
Yeah, so I tend to not really be communicating directly with the players. I sort of definitely try to leave it up to the coaching staff to determine what gets communicated to them and how that gets communicated, and sort of leave it up to their discretion of how stuff gets incorporated, whether it's in practices or games or meetings with players. But I think that they definitely are super receptive, even just, you know, not seeing the raw numbers, they're even just super receptive to the idea that it is happening. I've had, you know, I'll sit with one or two healthy scratches at away games or something like that. And a couple times, like, they'll sit there and they'll be like, so what actually are you doing? Like, what, we know you do stuff, but like, what do you do? And like, they are super interested and want to sort of, like, they think it's cool. They want to learn about it. So,
yeah, I imagine, you know, I remember talking to a baseball coach about that earlier this year. And he said, some guys want to know everything and other guys want to know absolutely nothing. And
that's definitely
information would almost be harmful, because then they're overthinking.
Yeah, they're thinking too much about it. And I think that it also is sort of like not a generational thing, but it's definitely, I think the younger guys are a lot more receptive to it, because like, especially with, you know, guys around this age, around a little bit towards my age, like they saw like the Theo Epstein effect of like, he did the Red Sox, he did the Cubs. Like, it's sort of like, this is a thing that people do and it helps. So.
Yeah. So it's Moneyball for people my age, it's Theo Epstein for people your age,
exactly.
Which, you know, it's not all that different. Right. But so in the grand scheme of NCAA Division I hockey, let's just say, you know, how many other people are there in roles like yours? Do you have a good sense of that, or do you not?
It's small. I think that, the last time that we looked, I think that I'm the only one that actually has like a title and is specifically dedicated to just to that role. I think that from what I've heard and from talking to people involved in other programs, it can, like, the assistant coaches will sort of have a certain level of involvement in it, but I don't think that there are very many, if any, programs that have sort of a specific dedicated person to it.
Do you think that's going to change soon? I mean, it's probably impossible for you to tell exactly, but what do you think? I mean, do you think other people know about what you're doing and generally, and they're going to be curious enough to devote resources to it?
Yeah, I think it's tough. It's one of those things, again, the resources is, it's a lot tougher in a college program to add a person than it is sort of in any other, you know, you have to go through the university, you have to go through the athletic department. There's all sorts of, you know, there's a lot of hoops that you have to sort of to keep everybody in compliance and, you know, everything going. And it is definitely a little less glamorous at the college level because there aren't as many resources that you're able to devote to it. But I think that definitely teams sort of are getting turned on to the fact that it is something that you can do and that it'll help, you know, however much it'll help. So it's, I think it's a matter of I feel like there's also just technological stuff in the way of, you know, it's tough to get video, it's tough to get data. But if that starts getting adopted, then I think that a lot of teams will start kind of jumping on.
Yeah, great. So what advice would you have for somebody in your situation from a couple of years ago, interested in getting involved with analytics, but don't know exactly where to start? What advice would you give them?
I'd say you got to be sort of self-motivating and self-sustaining. Everywhere that I am with this, it was the result of, you know, I just kind of went to the coaches and was like, hey, let's do it. Can we do this? Can we, you know, get it done? And sort of building off of that and getting that first rung on the ladder is you're going to have to kind of do that yourself. You don't want to wait around for stuff to just kind of fall in your lap. And then in terms of self-sustaining, you know, your coaching staff has 30 18-year-olds to worry about, and, you know, four coaches and the equipment manager and the student managers and all that. So just sort of being able to be self-sustaining and not needing like the hand-holding, being like able to sort of motivate yourself, get it done, show up, and then just sort of say, here you go, I'm not adding your headaches, but I'm adding value.
Great advice. Katie, where can we follow you on social media or find out more about what you're doing online? And I love your Twitter handle. I'll just say that off the bat and can tell us more about that.
Yeah. So on Twitter, it's YaterTots, YATER_Tots. Fortunate to have a last name that rhymes with potatoes. I don't know if it's worth a follow for the sake of smart analytics things, but if you like puppies and Rangers memes, I don't really talk shop online. Try to, you know, keep the government secrets pretty private, but
that's all right. That's okay. So again, my guest today has been Katie Yates of Boston University and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Katie will deliver a talk titled Challenges and Frontiers in Adopting Analytics in NCAA Ice Hockey. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today, Katie.
Thank you.
All right, and thank you for listening today. The Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at @analyticsconf. See you next time.